Welcome to the Round Rock Church of Christ Teaching Podcast. We're a faith community located in the central Austin area that gathers at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We hope this teaching blesses you as we become spirit-filled and spirit-led Jesus followers for those who do not have a home.
This morning's scripture reading is from Revelation 5, 6 through 14 from the New Revised Standard Version. Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who is seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are the slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creature and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that was in them singing, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb by the blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Church, this is the word of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and do what only you can do. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and do what only you can. We ask for more of you today. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
And he means it that time you can be seated. Hey, church, if you have a Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to turn to our passage in Revelation 5. Revelation 5. It's where the text was just read this morning. If you're new to the faith, we'll have some of the words on the screen. Also, if this is your home, I would ask that you bring a physical Bible with you. And as far as Revelation goes, it is at the very back of your Bible. We are in a series called Poured Out that we started 2 weeks ago. Usually, sermon series are planned out a long ways in advance. This was a pivot of a sermon series because there were two goals that are within this sermon series. The first one is we want to testify or share moments of what do we mean when we say people are being filled by the love of God. The second thing is our goal in this is talking about momentum. How do we collectively stir up momentum in our relationship with God? And to answer that second question, I answered this the first week by saying it's some form of the imagery of the passage that Zach read this morning of in all four gospel accounts. When Jesus is on the way to the cross, there's a woman who comes before him, kneels at his feet, takes an alabaster jar, which would be basically a collection of life. It is her ticket in life. Busts the jar open and pours it, wastes it all on the feet of Jesus from head to toe. And each week of this series, I'm talking about a different jar. I'm talking about a different way that you can break open your life and give it all to God. It's what the word consecration means, that we give all of our life to God to receive everything that God wants for us. Not a compartmentalized faith, but one that's consecrated. So in the first week of this series, I talked about prayer and how we can collectively be in a rhythm of praying together. I'm happy to announce today our prayer room is going to open at 1 o'clock today. We're going to have members starting to go through the prayer room. And for the next 7 days, round the clock, 24/7, people will be praying in that room. And if you're one of the people who signed up, and if you need a reminder of when you signed up, there is a schedule that's posted outside the door of the prayer room. I would encourage you before you leave church today, you can actually go see what that prayer room looks like. It's open, but do not walk in there with your shoes. That's my request. Last week, we talked about not just prayer, but then we also talked about consecration. So making room for God, making space for God to sacrifice things, not things that are necessarily bad, but making room to be available for God. And this week, what I want to talk about us pouring ourselves out through is worship. Now, I want to just note that throughout the scriptures, it's noted that worship is all of life. When you go to work, that is a form of worship. When you love the people around you or your family, that is worship. But specifically today, I am talking about the facet of worship of singing and praising God collectively and also individually. Because for some of us, maybe the familiarity of it has kind of worn off a little bit. Like, it is a very strange thing that we meet early on Sunday mornings and we sing to a wall. Like, if you were to just come in here and not know the context of this, this would be strange. Eric Posadas, one of our leaders over Alpha, which is just conversations that people are having exploring faith, talks about when he first started coming to church, he described the singing as basically the warm-up. He was like, when can we get on to the real things in life? And for some of us, maybe it feels like that. Maybe we don't like singing. Maybe we're self-conscious about our singing. Maybe you look around the room and you think to yourself, what is it that they're singing about that I don't necessarily feel or get? What's happening when we sing? Like, is this just a memory tool, a device? Is this just a personality thing? Like, if you like singing, you should sing, and the rest of us will endure it until it's time to move to something else. I want to talk about how in worship, three things to cover is that when you sing before God, you are reorienting yourself. You are opening up yourself, and you are activating yourself. I want to unpack what these things mean. Then I want to share a story of what this looks like. And then if the time allows, which I'm not sure it's going to, I'm going to give you just a practical way to move forward in pouring yourself out when it comes to worship. All right, so back to Revelation 5. Let's start with worship reorient us. So in the Bible, from the beginning to the end, it is a common response for people to worship in response to the action of God. In Genesis, when Eve is made, Adam's reaction is to praise God. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. When the Israelites are delivered out of Egypt in Exodus 15, the people worship. In the book of Psalms, which is like the Spotify Unwrapped playlist of the Bible, there are all these songs towards God's activity and also songs towards God's inactivity. It's the songbook of the Bible. In the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, there's not one but four songs in the first two chapters. In the book of Acts, when God's missionaries are moving across the world, they find themselves singing and praising. when they're in situations that are not worth singing and praising. All throughout the New Testament letters, when Paul's writing to churches, they are filled with hymns, doxologies, and songs, straight in the middle of his instructions, which those who are brain heavy, it drives us crazy. Why is he singing? And then in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, known as the second song book of the books of the Bible, contains images of God's people singing at the throne of God. Now, Revelation, when you hear it, and as needs to be noted a lot, is that Revelation contains a massive amount of symbols and metaphors because it's prophetic and it's apocalyptic, which is why you should proceed with caution when people want to jump to how they interpret it. There is language and symbols that mean something to those who hear it that we have to work a little bit harder to listen. And I'm not going to go over some of the symbols that are in this text, but I do want to lift kind of three moments in Revelation, because what Revelation, when John is revealing this moment of heaven's throne room, it's as if John is saying, let me peel back the curtain. The world may be so disorienting right now, but I want to orient us to what is happening in heaven right now. So Revelation 5, verse 3. There is this moment of disorientation. And John says, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scrolls? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. So I wept. I wept because no one found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. But then one of the elders assured me, do not weep. See, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. The imagery of the throne room of God is that God is one that holds this scroll. Think of an architect who holds the blueprints to the plan of salvation. That this is the plan of how to undo and overthrow all the evil that is in the world. And the question that's asked in heaven is, who's going to unroll that plan? Who's going to be able to do it? Because the bottom line is, for all of us, there's no one who hasn't contributed to the problems and evil that is in the world. And John weeps for this. He goes, no one can fix this. Your best efforts still will not fix this. But the assurance of the elder in verse 7 is that there is one who can fix it. The Lamb, Jesus. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the people of God. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. The good news of what is praising in heaven right now is that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is able to do what no one else could do. Is that a word for you this morning? That Jesus is able to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You and I, every single day we wake up, are in the spiritual trenches of life. We wrestle through what we have done in life and what we have not done in life. And what Revelation 5 reveals is that there is a battle that is going on for our hearts right now. There is no neutral ground in your life. There isn't one. Every day we wake up and we wrestle with, how do we talk to our boss? What do we do with our job? What do we do with our marriage? What do we do with our kids? What do we do with that social media post that irritates me? What do I do when my job's unfulfilling? What do I do with that long commute? What do I do with my family history? What do I do with that failed dream? What do I do with that growing undiagnosed health symptom? What do I do with the unwillingness to forgive? What do I do with the hurt and forgiveness that hasn't been extended to me? And where is my phone charger? Do I need to go on? Every day is a battle. The good news of Jesus Christ in Revelation is Jesus has done something through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which means God is not passive towards your life right now. That Jesus has done something. He has freed you and he has forgiven you by his blood. That Jesus is doing something right now. He's on the throne of God interceding for you right now. And the promise is he will do something for you, either at the end of your life or at the end of time. Hallelujah. When you sing songs assigning glory to his name, you're asking God, can you reorient me from what I'm focused on, what I've done or what I haven't done? And you're allowing the Holy Spirit to usher you to lifting your mind's eye and saying, I want to recognize what you are doing right now because I am stuck on what I am doing and not doing. First, worship reorients us. Second, worship opens us. When we open our mouths, we are opening ourselves up to the encounter with the living and breathing God. And we encounter that God through the work of the Holy Spirit. There is a dance, an exchange, an intimacy that can be shared with God when you open your mouth and sing his words. There's a small detail in Revelation 5:8 that I don't want us to miss. Each one of them had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the people of God. Heaven holds harps and bowls. Harps and bowls. This is some of the symbolism. In one hand is an instrument of praise, and in the other hand is a bowl that holds the prayers of God. In essence, bottom line, God treasures your praise and your prayers. They don't just throw up into the air and maybe they fall back down. He treasures them. He holds on to them. A more direct way to say this is your praise and your prayers touch the heart of God. They touch him. Now let me make a note, because I was in a season of life where I could hear what I'm saying right now, and I would have this reaction. That's nice, but I feel like that's good news for touchy-feely people. And I'm not a touchy-feely kind of person. And I think it's really important to just do some really quick theology here. If you feel like worship is something that is touchy-feely, and you're kind of like, eh. Like, when we look at the Trinity, when we talk about God, we talk about God, one essence, three persons. All three of the persons of God are not absent from touch. In the beginning of the Bible, when God is forming humanity, God reaches, grabs dirt, and forms humans. At the end of Revelation, it's metaphorical language, but God is wiping the tears that are in the eyes of people. God is not absent from touch. Jesus, when Jesus is interacting with those who have died, those who are diseased, or those who are undesired, Jesus touches them. And then what is outlandish about the Son of God is he not only touches them, but he allows people to also touch him. The woman kneeling before him, tears, wipes it with her hair. it doesn't get more intimate than that moment right there. Jesus touches. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit's activity, the third person of God, the presence and power of God, the Spirit can touch people as well. When the Spirit animates and moves in the book of Acts, the Spirit is not absent of engaging the senses. And now let me go ahead and say what's in some of your minds. What we have to be careful of is assigning all feelings, absolutely. And we also need to be careful to say that the Spirit of God is touching to us in this one particular way, but not in other ways. Maybe the best way to say it is the Spirit of God can touch us however the Spirit of God chooses to touch us. Our job is to not look for one specific way, but to just welcome Him and say, work in any way that you want to. The bottom line in worship is that when you sing to God, this is some good news. I don't know if some of you believe this is good news, but this is good news. When you sing to God, it touches God's heart. And also when you sing, God can encounter you. And worship can be touching to you in ways that are beyond describing. And if what I just said doesn't compute for you, I would encourage you to turn to Acts 13 this week. And maybe wrestle through that passage a little bit of what's it look like for the Spirit interacting with the people of God in worship. I have no time for that analogy. Number three, activate. God activates us in the midst of our worship. In response to the Lamb taking and unrolling the scroll of God's salvation, do not miss this line that is in the song. This is at the very end if you're looking at the song of the layout. Praises the work of the Lamb, praises the blood of the Lamb, and then at the very end, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. If you're a close Bible watcher, this is Genesis 1 and 2 all over again. It's not like Jesus is like, give me all these things, you messed it up, I'm going to do my own thing. No, Jesus says, I'm going to free you, and then I'm going to commission you to do what I made you to do in the very beginning, which means that when you enter this room or you enter the secret place and you sing to God, when you worship, God empowers us to become what God wants us to be throughout the week. Singing is vulnerable. It opens us up. And when our mouths are open, singing His praises and His words, sometimes we're also open to what our anxieties and our bondage are that are pressed deep within our souls that we don't talk about during the week. And when people ask us how we're doing, we said, fine, thank you very much. How are you doing? Because I don't want to talk anymore. Singing is a way of casting out fear. It is a way to cast out the fear of death. Think of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. They are beaten. They're imprisoned. There's no hope moving forward. And those broskies are singing and praising God. And it's in singing and praising God, the chains fall off. They can testify to the world and to everyone around them what God is doing. This is why one of the oldest songs of the church, and it's taken several different expressions, is come, Holy Spirit, come. Not because the early Christians wanted goosebumps. Not because they wanted to be the hyenas out of Lion King where they're like, woohoo. They prayed, come Holy Spirit, because they actually believed in the bread and the juice. They believed in the songs that were being lifted up. And they believed that when the Word of God was open and it was delivered, that the presence and power of God could be evident to those who believed and to those who weren't sure if they believed. In other words, when we sing the words, "Come Holy Spirit," we're not asking that the Spirit's way out there and we're asking them to get back here. No, no, no. If you've said yes to Jesus, trusted Jesus, yes, the Spirit is right here. And we're also asking the Spirit of God to flame our devotion, transform our character, equip us with gifts, empower us with power, enlighten our minds, fill our hearts with love, delivering us from darkness, directing our path, and calling us into intimate union with God. That's what we mean when we pray those words. So let me pause. Let me go ahead and invite two friends up this morning, Paige and Jody, if you'd like to come. Jody is prepped. She has tissues. That is her vibe. And I just want to recount for a moment and maybe just give a painting of what do we mean when we say worship reorients us, it opens us, and it activates us. Okay, so we're talking about a moment. This was maybe a month ago. You what? Oh, thank you, Eric. Okay. All right. Is that calm down? Sit down. I'm a little riled up this morning. Okay. We're talking about a moment that both of y'all shared. The scene in which this has taken place is actually in this room about a month ago with the Alpha Encounter night that we were having. Paige, I'm going to throw it to you first. Kind of, where's the headspace you were coming into with the night? Maybe mention purpose of the room too.
So we came to Alpha, and the point was to pray for all of the people that were going to be joining Alpha, you know, to find Jesus. And I didn't really know what to expect, but I was not expecting essentially another Holy Spirit listening session. If you haven't been to one, the chairs are all moved out of the way, the room is dark, you know, there's like places to sit on the floor or whatever, and then we're singing different music. And I was not prepared for that. I was in a place, I still kind of am, feeling really angry with God about a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Some people and children really close to me had recently passed or been diagnosed with cancer. And so it's like, how am I supposed to go into this space and pray for these people to find Jesus when, like, I'm so angry with him right now? And so I just sat and I made myself sing, even though I didn't really want to. And, you know, we were supposed to be praying, but I was like, I don't want to talk to you right now. Like, I'm just so mad. And it was so hard to sing because all the songs we sang, Clark, were about were about like how good God is and how faithful and how wonderful and how he loves us and how he'll never leave us. And there was one song in particular that we sang, the "You Are Good, Good Lord." I don't know if you'll know that one.
Good, good Father.
It was just really hard to sing those words when, you know, all these horrible things are happening. Like, I have to believe that you are good. And so I was crying and crying and making myself say these words, you know, that you are good, good Lord. And like right here in my heart, just like got really warm. And it just felt really warm there. Mm-hmm. And it almost felt like a hug, I guess. Like in that moment, I thought the Holy Spirit like came back because I was like so mad. Anyway, yeah. So is that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, so you come to this spot. So kind of the feelings that run through your head. You have kind of this moment of a warming kind of impression in the middle of worship, singing words that are kind of hard to just actually put out loud. Joe, what's happened for you while that's happened for Paige?
So I came into the space from a hustle. So I was for encounter night helping babysitting get squared away. I was making sure that people who came in late knew what to do and how to do it. And so I came in several minutes late. I wasn't part of the original prayer to start off the space. And I came in flustered and like I had a checklist running through my head and frustrated because I was just not in a space where I could pray for people for Alpha. Mm-hmm. I felt like I just needed to slow down and I couldn't slow down. Mm-hmm. And so I finally just let myself be in that space. It felt like I was in a really rough space, so I just kind of stood there and worshiped, sang whatever songs we were singing. But Paige was kind of off to the left of me, and so the whole time I could hear her sniffling. And there were people gradually throughout the room that would get up and pray for someone else, and I kept feeling like, should I go pray for Paige? And then I started feeling guilty that I wasn't praying for Paige, and I was like, I don't want to feel like I am praying for her out of guilt. Like I want it to be real, and so I didn't. We went through the whole night, and you had said, like, when you're ready, you can leave this space. And Eric was there too. He's the deacon of evangelism in Alpha, and so I went over to him and said, hey, I'll go pick up the kids from babysitting. You stay in here and worship as long as you need to or want to. Like, don't worry about us. And everybody was exiting out the back door. And I got to the back door, and Amber Delano was standing there. And I said, Amber, I told Eric I would go get the kids for babysitting, but I can't leave this room until I pray for Paige, because there was something in like the act of leaving that God was like, nope, you're not leaving this room. Like, you have got to go pray for Paige. And so I was like, what am I supposed to pray? Like, I didn't know what to pray. And so I just kind of paused. Amber was like, yeah, I'll go get the kids. Don't worry about it. And so, what?
Classic
Amber. Yes, yeah. So as I was walking back over to Paige, I was just praying, God, tell me what to pray for her. I don't know what I am supposed to pray for her. And the only thing that kept coming to mind was love. Just pray love. And so as I got to Paige, I did something that was completely out of the realm of what's normal for me, which was put my hand on her heart. And I just prayed for God's love to fill her, that it would like wash over her, and that's all I remember praying. Mm-hmm. And then I felt this like, okay, you're good, you can leave. Like, it was a shift in my body that felt different, and I hadn't experienced something that was so like, you may not leave this room until mm-hmm. you pray for someone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, y'all know each other for how long?
How long have you been here?
At Round Rock?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 9 years.
Matthew says nine.
Thanks,
years.
Matthew.
But fun fact, remember when we used to have those like folder things that go under the chairs?
Yes.
And you had to like sign the thing?
Black box.
Apparently we'd signed in like 64 times or something before placing membership.
Okay.
And like one morning we got up for church and I was like, Matthew, I'm placing membership today and you can join me if you want to.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Yeah, nine yeah. years. We've gotten really close to the last 2 years since I've been on staff because Paige does amazing things in kids ministry. So
yep.
closer relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also hold the ground when we do testimonies and service, and it takes long. Thank you. The bottom line point that I'm trying to get at is this. They've known each other for a while. Please do not go up and just pray on someone's heart. Okay. Okay. That's not a part of the story with it. But y'all have that history and know. But you also took that risk to be like, I know I need to pray. I know it needs to be love. I think it needs to be on her
yeah.
heart.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. All right, so she does that, walks away. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Yeah, so like I just could not get out of my head the fact that like as soon as you sat down and put your hand right there, like right exactly where that warmth feeling felt, it was like God was saying like, don't forget this moment.
Mm.
This was important because I feel like a lot of times you might experience something, you know, maybe kind of like that. And you just think like, oh, that was kind of a neat thing. Or like, maybe I imagined that, you yeah. know, but the simple act of Jody putting her hand there while she prayed was so powerful for me because it helped solidify that like, that actually happened, and it was like God didn't want me to forget that He is there inside of me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it felt like she was like helping to hold it in. And so then I left after staying a little longer, and I told Matthew the story in the car, but yeah, mm-hmm. That's where I left.
Yeah, it makes me think of like Ephesians, literally when it says, don't fill yourself in all these ways. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, sing and make music in your heart, always giving thanks to God. Sounds like that's just a moment of that with it. Mm-hmm. I think the craziest part as well is y'all just didn't talk about it at all afterwards. Yeah. Y'all did recap it like a week later.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was like a week later. She came out to praise camp. And I was like, thank you so much for praying for me or whatever. And Jody was like, I hope it wasn't weird that like I put my hand on your chest.
It was very abnormal for me to do.
And so then that's when I was like, actually, no, like, it was amazing. And then I told her why. And
That's funny. On top of like, I feel like for Joe, you'd just be like, well, I did that thing and then I walked away.
Yep.
And I'm a weirdo for the rest of my life with Paige now. Don't make eye contact. Hey, one more question to kind of just ask both of you. Can you kind of talk about like in this season, what's your relationship with God kind of looking like? Maybe a little bit of like, what is the secret place kind of looking like, or your prayer space looking like for each of y'all with this moment in mind?
Yeah. So our boys wake up ridiculously early. Like, it is hopeful that they stay in bed till 5:45 a.m. So I wake up about 5 and go into our living room and keep all of the lights turned off. And I set a timer for 10 minutes and just try to sit in quiet, or I put like on Spotify a worship pad so there's like some sound happening. And I just pray that God prompts me in whatever way He may want me to either read or pray. Some mornings, when I'm feeling exceptionally tired, I do Lectio, and I just put the phone beside my head and lay on the couch in the dark and listen to whatever Lectio 365 is having for the prayer for that day. But recently I've been prompted to read specific parts of the Bible. So lately it's been like Daniel 1-3, Psalm 139, and then today John 14 came up. And so just really paying attention to, okay, these things are ways that I feel like God is leading me to go a little bit deeper in something, and I don't always know what He has for me in that, so I'll usually write it down because I have a terrible memory, and just keep praying through that for the day or for the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Before I talk about my prayer life, I want to just say one thing. So at the Alpha, night, I mentioned that I felt like the Holy Spirit had come back. Like I thought it left. I'm in ladies' Bible class. We meet Wednesday mornings in the kitchen or Tuesday nights at, I think, 7. I don't know, but you should come to Wednesday mornings because it's better because I'm there.
if you're a lady, though, right?
Yeah, only if you're a lady. No boys allowed.
Yep.
But anyway, in the study that we're doing, the lady in the video referenced Ephesians 1. Verse 13, I'm just going to read you the second half. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which means like He's not going to leave you, like He's sealed inside. So then it was like this epiphany, like He didn't like come back. He was just like reminding me that He's there. I don't know, it was just really powerful. And I don't think that if I had had that experience, and that if Jody hadn't put her hand there, I don't think that I would have thought twice about that verse in that moment. So I've just been in my prayer life You did a sermon a while back where you said you should pick a verse and you like whisper it, and then you say it, and then you say it louder, and then you just kind of sit and listen. And so I've been more praying in that way because I'm still really angry about a lot of things. So it's like, I don't really know that I have any words to say. So I'm just gonna sit and let God talk to me instead. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think is so solid, because I think we talk about moments that are like high, high with God. But I feel like one of the things you're saying is that like, I'm pretty frustrated and everything that happened didn't change the things that are frustrating. But like what you're doing is faithful and not giving up and saying, I'm still here. I'm available. And I think that's powerful. Mm-hmm. Can we just thank them, church, for being willing to share that? Thank you. What time are we at? Bad. Okay, all right, got it. All right, so I'm going to leave you with something practical, but I'm going to have to say it super fast because some of you are like, get me out. Okay, so here it is. If you want to pour yourself out more through worship, maybe you're self-conscious about singing. Maybe singing to you is kind of like I don't really like doing it. Or maybe you're like, I would like to welcome God more. I want to just maybe suggest doing these three things. In your secret place kind of time, your place that you spend with the Lord, what would it look like for you to take a chorus or some song lyrics of a worship song? And what would it look like to be in that space and simply first hum it, then sing it, and then embody it? So like one of the ways that I do this in my time with the Lord is my grandfather gave me a hymn that I sing all the time, I Need Thee. I'll hum it. Mm-hmm. Then I sing it. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need. And then I get on my knees on the ground alone and I sing it again. And then I wait. What if you did that this week? What if you took that time? I guess what I'm trying to say, bottom line to the church today, is that worship is not a personality thing. It is a creation thing. And the psalmist declares it and Revelation testifies to it, that everything that has breath will praise the Lord. So why not start right now? So Lord, we welcome you and we lift our hearts and our minds to you. Can we pour ourselves out in worship to you? And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who knows they need to receive prayer and they have put it off every week, will they move to the back and let someone pray over them? In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.